Book of Luke, chapter 23, verse 1.
And the whole multitude of them arose and led him unto Pilate. And they began to accuse him, saying, We found this fellow perverting the nation and forbidding to give tribute to Caesar, saying that he himself is Christ a king.
Last week we learned they arrested Jesus. Now they took him to the high priest, and now they're bringing to the Pilate. And when they're bringing him to the Pilate, is the governor, and many people start following, accusing him. And what they were saying, this fellow, this man, is trying to change the hearts of the people and trying to teach them against the government. And what kind of teaching he is giving? He is saying you should not be paying the taxes to the Caesar. And not only that, he is telling other people, I am the king. They are telling to Pilate. And Jesus Christ never taught anything against government. He always told the people to pay taxes. We recently learned in our Bible study in book of Matthew, chapter 17, one tax collector came to Peter and asked the Peter, Does your master pay taxes? And Peter says, Yes. Matthew chapter 17, verse 24 to 27. Please read.
And when they were come to Capernaum, they that received tribute money came to Peter and said, Doth not your master pay tributes? He saith, Yes. And when he was come into the house, Jesus prevented him, saying, What thinkest thou, Simon? Of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute, of their own children or of strangers? Peter saith unto him, Of strangers. Jesus saith unto him, Then are the children free. Notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, go thou to the sea, and cast in hook, and take up the fish that first cometh up. And when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money. That take and give unto them for me and thee.
See, here Jesus Christ told this Peter, We don't want to offend these government people. We don't have to pay taxes because Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And God is the creator. Jesus Christ is the creator. But this Roman government, as well as these Sadducees and Pharisees and scribes, they did not believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So Jesus Christ says, We don't want to offend these people. Go and get the fish. And when you see the golden coin, pay taxes for you and for me. From that, we know that Jesus Christ paid his taxes. Not only that, one time, somebody came and asked him about the tax questions. Matthew chapter 22, verse 17 to 21. There also, Jesus Christ gave them the answer, Show me the coin and the picture of the coin. And then he said to them, What is belong to Caesar? Give it to Caesar. What is belong to God? Give it to God. Please read.
Tell us therefore, what thinkest thou? Is it lawful to give tribute unto Caesar or not? But Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, Why tempt ye me, ye hypocrites? Show me the tribute money. And they brought unto him a penny. And he saith unto them, Whose is this image and superscription? They say unto him, Caesar's. Then saith he unto them, Render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's.
Now from these two scriptures I gave it to you, no one can accuse Jesus Christ that he was against paying the taxes, and he did not pay his taxes. He paid his taxes, and he encouraged people to pay taxes. But here in the scripture we read in the book of Luke chapter 23 verse 2, these people are bringing Jesus Christ to Pilate and they are accusing him. He is changing the minds and the hearts of the people against the government. He is telling other people that I am going to be king of Jews and you don't pay taxes to the government. In short, they were trying to tell the governor or the government people, He is your enemy and he is going to destroy your kingdom. And that's what their idea was. Go back to the book of Luke, chapter 23, verse 3.
And Pilate asked him, saying, Art thou the king of the Jews? And he answered him and said, Thou sayest it. Then said Pilate to the chief priests and to the people, I find no fault in this man. And they were the more fierce, saying, He stirreth up the people, teaching throughout all Jewry, beginning from Galilee to this place. When Pilate heard of Galilee, he asked whether the man were a Galilean. And as soon as he knew that he belonged unto Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who himself also was at Jerusalem at that time. And when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceeding glad, for he was desirous to see him of a long season, because he had heard many things of him, and he hoped to have seen some miracle done by him. Then he questioned with him in many words, but he answered him nothing. And the chief priests and scribes stood and vehemently accused him. And Herod with his men of war set him at naught, and mocked him, and arrayed him in a gorgeous robe, and sent him again to Pilate. And the same day Pilate and Herod were made friends together, for before they were at enmity between themselves.
Now see, when Pilate asked the question to Jesus Christ, Are you the king of Jews? What did he say? You said, that means I'm not proclaiming, I'm not telling everybody I'm the king of the Jews. Pilate says, you know what? I don't find any fault in this man. And so he wanted to let this Jesus go. The people start saying, you know what? He is a Galilean. And from Galilee to all Jewish nation, everywhere he founds the Jewish people, tells them that I am the king of the Jew, and trying to deceive the people and making more followers. As soon as the Pilate heard the name Galilee, he says, Is this man from Galilee? They said, Yes, this man is from Galilee. Then he said, Okay, there is a Herod, and Herod is in Galilee. So what I'm going to do, let the Herod take this case and give him the verdict. So he sends the Jesus Christ to the Herod. And as soon as the Herod saw Jesus, he was so happy. He was so happy because he was looking forward to seeing Jesus Christ. Why? Because some time ago he thought, John the Baptist is risen again, and he wanted to see Jesus. When he saw Jesus Christ, he was very happy, and he wanted to see some miracle happening through Jesus. And so he started asking, could you do a miracle for me? He did not say anything. Do some miracle. So Jesus kept quiet. Then the word of God says, the Herod has the people of war, the officers, and they might be start scaring him. You better do some miracles for the Herod. But Jesus didn't say anything. And then all other people, these Sadducees and Pharisees and scribes, they were standing there. They were also mocking him and trying to accuse him and saying bad about him. Herod could not find any fault. Herod's supposed to kill him. Herod says, I cannot find any fault in him. And so Herod gave him the gorgeous, beautiful robe and sent him back to the Pilate. And the word of God says the Pilate and Herod, they were enemy. But as soon as the Pilate sent Jesus Christ to Herod and Herod sends Jesus Christ back to Pilate, they became friends. See what happens? Jesus Christ came into this world to make people one, taking enmity out. The word of God says he broken down the middle wall of partition between God and man. And so once we are belong to Jesus Christ, there is no partition. There is no black, there is no white, there is no Indian, there is no any other color or language. Once we have Jesus, we are all brothers and sisters in Christ. See how Christ made these people friends? Just going to this and not saying any bad about Pilate, or no, not bad about Herod. He just kept quiet, did not say a word. Herod said, I don't find any fault. I cannot kill him. Let's take him back to the Pilate. And the word of God says, from that day onwards, they became friends. Okay, let's read verse 13.
And Pilate, when he had called together the chief priests and the rulers and the people, said unto them, Ye have brought this man unto me as one that perverteth the people. And behold, I, having examined him before you, have found no fault in this man touching those things whereof ye accuse him.
Now again he said, bring all your priests, bring all the higher authorities, the scribes and the leaders and everybody. I want to know what kind of crime he has done. He says, I send him to the Herod. Herod could not find any fault. He sent him back to me. I don't find any fault to kill him for this or give him the death penalty. And so he is trying to say, if the Herod didn't find any fault, I didn't find any fault, he wanted to release Jesus Christ. Read verse 15 and 16.
No, nor yet Herod, for I sent you to him, and lo, nothing worthy of death is done unto him. I will therefore chastise him and release him.
Now he said, if the Herod could not find fault, I could not find any fault, so what we're going to do, we will punish him and let him go. I want to release the Jesus Christ for you. And see what these people are saying. Verse 17.
For of necessity he must release one unto them at the feast. And they cried out all at once, saying, Away with this man, and release unto us Barabbas, who for a certain sedition made in the city and for murder was cast into prison. Pilate, therefore, willing to release Jesus, spake again to them. But they cried, saying, Crucify him, crucify him. And he said unto them the third time, Why, what evil hath he done? I have found no cause of death in him. I will therefore chastise him and let him go.
Again, Pilate is saying, you know what? Once in a year, the time of Passover feast, they release one prisoner. We arrested Jesus Christ, and since we didn't find any fault, we want to release him. And so they start saying, no, no, no. You crucified Jesus Christ, but release us a man named Barabbas. Now the Barabbas man was not an ordinary man. He was maybe a leader of some party, and they were fighting against government, and they had a riot, and this man killed somebody, and then they arrested him and put him in the prison. Now he might have a death penalty, and he is going to die in a prison. But these people are saying, crucify Jesus Christ and release the Barabbas for us. Can you imagine how people want the trouble for themselves, not knowing what they're asking? They are asking trouble. This man is a murderer. Do you know if the one murderer escapes from the prison, they want people, lock your doors, lock your window, be watchful. This man is a murderer and he can kill somebody. The point I'm making, when the people are living in sin, they don't care about the holiness. They don't care about the good living. They care about sin and promote sin and sinful activities. So they said, we don't care if he kills our children. We don't care if he murder more people, but we want Barabbas. And that's what people do. God is a good God, but the devil is a liar. He is a deceiver. The word of God says in St. John chapter 10, verse 10, the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But he says, Jesus Christ says, I have come to give you life, and more abundant life. Now, Jesus Christ is a life giver. Barabbas is a life taker. He says, give us a Barabbas. We don't need Jesus. And that's what's happening around the world. They don't want Jesus' name. They don't want Jesus' book. They don't want anybody praying in the name of Jesus. If you're praying in the name of Jesus, you're not hurting anybody. You are blessing people. Jesus' name is above all names. And people do not want Jesus. They want Barabbas. And that's what the problem is. We have to know, what is your choice? Do you want life or do you want death? The Word of God says, choose life. And so when you choose Jesus, you are choosing the eternal life. Let's read verse 23.
And they were instant with loud voices, requiring that he might be crucified. And the voices of them and of the chief priests prevailed. And Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they required. And he released unto them him that for sedition and murder was cast into prison, whom they had desired. But he delivered Jesus to their will.
Pilate tried his best 3 times. They tried to convince these people, Israeli people or Jewish people or the priest and scribe, but they said no. They start crying loudly, violently, and try to say, we want Barabbas, we want you to crucify Jesus Christ. And then you know what happens? The majority what they say, they do. That's why the voting is all about. When you vote majority people, and that's what they get. So the majority people said, we want Barabbas. Just like Jesus and Barabbas, they were voting for. And all vote for Barabbas. And so they said, okay, Barabbas you need. We give you Barabbas. And Jesus, he released to them to crucify. He says, according to their will. This was not the will of Pilate. Pilate's wife had some kind of miracle happen through Jesus. And she said to Pilate, please, try to release Jesus. Not only that, she got a dream about Jesus. And she told everything to Pilate, please, try to release him. Pilate tried his best. Finally, he said, I'm going to wash my hands. And they said, his blood will be on us and our children. And so he released to them Barabbas and gave Jesus Christ, delivered them according to their will. And they wanted to crucify him. Verse 26.
And as they led him away, they laid hold upon one Simon, a Cyrenian, coming out of the country, and on him they laid the cross, that he might bear it after Jesus.
Now see, when Pilate said, give him some stripes, means hit him and let him go. But these people didn't want him to let him go. So Pilate already gave the order to hit him. They hit him like a 39 stripes on his back. So they could do 40, and then they will never be able to hit again according to the Jewish law. So they start hitting 39 times. They will take a break and then hit 39 times again. So the Jesus Christ was completely weak, didn't have strength to walk or take the cross. He was falling. He didn't have the strength. And so each person, they would carry their cross to the Calvary. And Jesus Christ was carrying his cross. He was falling and falling. So they found a man. And this man just came from his work. He was working in the farm. And he came. And they wanted this man to carry the cross of Jesus. You can think about this man. This man, when you see, this is a black brother. Strong, healthy man. He worked hard in his farm. He's tired and weary. He wants rest. But these people arrested him and said, take the cross of Jesus Christ, help him, and take him to Calvary. Now, if you saw that movie, The Passion of Christ, this man did very good job showing Jesus And Simon was carrying the cross. And so he was very tired. It was a heavy cross and they were carrying, and this man helped him. So you can see one black brother helped Jesus Christ to carrying the cross. So now we see in Africa, there are millions of Christians because of him. Because this person had love for Christ. And because of his love for Christ, today we have seen so many born again, spirit-filled African around the world. Because of this one man's willing to help Jesus Christ. Can you imagine, this man was carrying the cross for Christ and Christ's blood was flashing on him. So this man already sanctified by the blood of Jesus Christ. And he willingly, they said it to him by force. But I believe if he didn't want to do it, he didn't have to do it. But he saw Jesus Christ, innocent man, carrying his cross. So he helped Christ. And because of that, I believe he and his family, his country, got blessed. Verse 27.
And there followed him a great company of people and of women, which also bewailed and lamented him. But Jesus, turning unto them, said, Daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming, in the which they shall say, Blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bare, and the paps which never gave suck. Then shall they begin to say to the mountains, Fall on us, and to the hills, Cover us.
Jesus Christ is carrying his cross. He's so weak. He's so tired. The blood is pouring. But he still looked at those, the ladies, who were beating on their chest and crying for Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ healed so many people. And so many ladies, they were helping Jesus with their finances. So those ladies are following Christ. They're beating on their chest and crying. What Jesus Christ is saying, please don't cry for me. Cry for you and for your children. What he was trying to say, the evil days are coming. And when the evil days will come, those days the people will say, O mountain, fall on us. The hills cover us, because they could not stand all that persecution. So Jesus Christ is saying, time is coming, very worse time is coming. In those days people will say, if you didn't have the children, if you didn't have the babies, that would be good. Why the word of God is saying that? Because Jesus Christ says, when the trouble comes, run to the mountains to hide yourself. And so if you have a little babies and newborn babies, it will be difficult for the mother to take care of them and take care of themselves and run to the mountains. So he said, those days are coming. So he says, don't cry for me, cry for your children. And cry for yourself. And those days partially came and partially is coming in the time of tribulation. Okay, verse 31.
For if they do these things in a green tree, what shall be done in the dry? And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death.
Now here he's saying, if they did these things to the green tree, who is a green tree? Jesus. He says, if they did it to me, how much more they will do it to you. But we have a good news. If you have Jesus Christ in you, devil has no power over you. The devil tried to destroy Christ, but the word of God says in 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, he said Jesus Christ came into this world to destroy the works of the devil. And he destroyed his work on the cross. And now he has given us the same power to destroy the works of the devil. So we don't have to worry about devil. Verse 32 we read, he says, there were two criminals, murderers, killer, destroyers. They were also had this death penalty, and they were also carrying their cross, And when they came there, they put one in his left hand, one in his right hand. And Jesus Christ was middle of them. Why they did this? Because they wanted to tell the world Jesus Christ is a criminal. And the Isaiah 53 says that prophecy already fulfilled. Not only that, they wanted to bury him with a criminal also. But the word of God says he got the best tomb. He was not buried with a criminal. Okay, verse 33.
And when they were come to the place, which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left.
Now in this book, book of Luke, it says, one man say bad about Jesus, and one did. But the Mark, if you read, Mark chapter 15, verse 32, these both people, left and right, they were accusing Jesus Christ and saying bad things just like the other people were saying. Please read.
Let Christ the King of Israel descend now from the cross, that we may see and believe. And they that were crucified with him reviled him.
Now he says they, the people who are crucified, they also said the same thing. What the people were saying, if you are the king of the Jew, you heal so many people, you deliver so many people, why don't you come from the cross, then we believe. Do you think it was difficult for Jesus Christ to come from the cross? It was easy. But he didn't want to come from the cross. He came to die on the cross. You remember last time we learned when he was in Gethsemane and the blood was pouring like anything and the devil wanted to kill him in the Gethsemane and he prayed, God, save me from this death. And we read from the book of Hebrews, chapter 5, verse 7, God heard his prayer and delivered him from the death. And so he wanted to go to cross. And so he was dying on the cross. And these people are saying, come down from the cross, save yourself and save us. See what Jesus Christ said. Verse 32, Luke 23, 34.
Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots.
When Jesus Christ says, Father, forgive them. Now, as soon as Jesus Christ says, Father, forgive them, who are them close to him? Those two thieves. They heard it loud and clear. But that doesn't mean he was just saying to those thieves, but he was saying to the whole world. So what he's trying to say, when he's saying to this thief, and the people who are standing in front of him and accusing him, he said, Lord, forgive them. So as soon as he says, forgive them, something happened in the heart of the one thief. But the other one didn't change. The one person changed. But at the same time, he's dying on the cross. He's asking forgiveness to those people. And these people are playing game of gambling. What they were gambling for? They were gambling for his clothes. Because he had the rope. No one could make that kind of rope. They didn't know who tailored that rope, who made that rope. Nobody knows. So it was like a divine made rope. And they didn't want to cut it into pieces. So they wanted to gamble for that thing. And the word of God said this was prophesied. Go to the book of Psalm, chapter 22, verse 18.
They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture.
And see, this prophecy is fulfilled. People were gambling and putting lots. Who will get this garment? And I don't think they've found out yet who has his robe still. Verse 35, Luke 23, 35.
And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, He saved others. Let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, This is the king of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us.
All these people trying to mock him and say, If you are the king, if you save others, why don't you come down? It was easy for Jesus to come down. But as I said, he did not come down to not to die on the cross. He wanted to die on the cross. Why? Because the word of God says in Galatians chapter 3 verse 13, He has redeemed us from the curse of the law. The word of God says, whoever hangs on the tree is a curse. So Jesus Christ was hanging on that cross, taking your curse. And now once you believe Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are free from the curse. Somebody says somebody's doing voodoo on me, somebody's doing witchcraft on me, somebody's doing this and that, and my generation curses on me. I have a good news for you. Once you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you are redeemed once and for all from all the curses you had or your generation had or your family had, because you are set free. What Jesus Christ said, ye shall know the truth and what? Truth shall set you free. Free from what? Free from sickness, disease, death, financial crisis, or any curses. You are set free. Jesus Christ says, I am the truth, I am the life, and I am the way. Once you know the truth, then you know who Jesus Christ is. Jesus Christ is the living God. He came from heaven, He showed us the way, and He says, I'm going and I'm showing the way. If you follow me, I will take you to the Father. So what we need? We need Jesus. Jesus Christ is the only one who can set us free from all our problems. And here he says there was some writing on the cross in a three language. What he was saying, this is the king of the Jews. And those people start saying, please, Pilate, change it. Just say, Jesus Christ says, I am the king of Jews. Pilate said, whatever I wrote it. And I'm not going to change. And the word of God says it was in Greek, Latin, and Hebrew language. And then what happened? The other man is still cursing, verse 39, still cursing to Jesus and still saying, why don't you come down from the cross and save yourself and save us? Jesus already simply said, Father, forgive them. Verse 40. Luke 23:40.
But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom.
Now can you imagine this thief? One thief repented. When he repented, when Jesus Christ says, Father, forgive them. So he got forgiveness for his sins. Once he said, Jesus Christ is going to be a king one day. And he is a son of God. I want to receive him as my Lord and my Savior. And as soon as Jesus says, forgive these people, he received his forgiveness. And see, once you are forgiven, what happens? The heavy load of sin is lifted up. When I tell people to pray with me, and I tell them to, Lord, forgive all my sins. Come into my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. I give my life to you and change my life. And as soon as they said amen, I asked them, how do you feel? They said, well, the burden is lifted up. I feel free. My sins are forgiven. My name is written in heaven. I am a child of God. Sickness and disease cannot stand in the child of God. We are set free. So this man, even though he was bound to the cross, but in his heart, he was free man. Just like some people are prisoners, and when they hear Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they give their heart to Jesus Christ. Even though they are in prison, they are free people. And they worship the Lord and they thank God what Jesus Christ has done for them. So this man not only got saved on the cross, but he started preaching on the cross. Can you see? This man is suffering on the cross. He's also bleeding. He's also dying. But he's preaching to another guy. Why don't you repent? Why don't you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Why don't you confess your sins? Jesus didn't do anything. He is an innocent man. I received him as my Lord and Savior. Why don't you? There are so many people today. They believe Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Are they telling anybody about Jesus? No. They are minding their business. They are very busy. Do not have time to read the Bible. Do not have time to pray. Do not have time to do anything for God. And they want blessings of God. What this man is doing? He had very short time. But he tried to preach to the neighbor. To his friend. Oh, I don't know he was his friend. But he was in the same category. He says, Jesus didn't do anything. So when this man got saved, what he wants to do? He wants to go where Jesus Christ is. Read the verse following. 43, what Jesus Christ said to him.
And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise.
What the thief was saying, when you come in your kingdom, that's the time I want to be in your kingdom. Jesus Christ is trying to say, you already started a kingdom in your heart. You already belong to the kingdom of God. So wherever I am, there you shall be. So today, not tomorrow, not later, today you will be with me in paradise. The day you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that the same day you are a child of God, you are born again, and you are not of this world, but you are belong to the heavenly kingdom. The word of God says once you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are transformed spiritually to the kingdom of God. Read Ephesians chapter 2 verse 6.
And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus.
Once you are a child of God, you are raised up to heaven and you are sitting at the right hand of Jesus Christ. Just like he said to this thief, today you will be with me in paradise. The day you receive Jesus Christ, you are a child of God. And you are sitting with Jesus Christ on the throne. That means you have more power than your enemy. Devil should be under your feet, not in your mind, not in your heart. So God has given us supernatural power. We are belong to Jesus Christ. We are belong to the heavenly kingdom, heavenly citizenship. We are living on this earth for the temporarily. Don't worry, our sorrow, our pain, our suffering is for a short period of time. We are going to go with Jesus Christ. We are waiting for him to come. Let's go back to the book of Luke, chapter 23, starting from verse 44.
And it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour.
Can you imagine? Sixth hour to the ninth hour, there was a darkness on the earth. And if somebody historian, they can write the history, that's a new. The sun was shining. But when Jesus Christ was crucified, the sun stopped shining. And there was a darkness for 12 o'clock to 3 o'clock. That means what Jesus Christ was proving to the whole world. The word of God says, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. When they want to take the light of the world off, and he proved to them, I am really the light of the world. Spiritually as well as physically. So the Jesus Christ was hanging there. And at that particular time, the darkness was there. Only sound they can hear, what? tip, 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 the blood sound. The blood was dripping and the blood was sounding. Book of Hebrews, he says, the blood of Jesus Christ speaks better than Abel's blood. So what that dripping sound was talking? The blood of Abel's was talking, kill my brother. But the blood of Jesus Christ is speaking, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. So everyone heard the blood sound. So the blood is still speaking good things. What the blood of Jesus Christ is saying, you are washed, you are cleansed, you are mine, you are redeemed, you are sanctified. So there is a power in the blood of Jesus Christ. Okay, let's read further, 45.
And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst.
Now here Luke is saying, the veil, there was a veil between holy place and most holy place. That means there was a temple. Temple has three places. One is outer court, and then the holy place. In the holy place, all the priests can work. And there was a curtain between holy place and most holy place. Only the high priest can go to the most holy place once a year. But when Jesus Christ died on the cross, the word of God says the curtain was torn. Now, Luke is only saying the curtain was divided from the middle. But let's go to the book of Matthew chapter 27 and start reading from verse 51.
And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose, and came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many.
Matthew says the curtain was torn from top to bottom. And what God is trying to say, he's saying to, now you don't need any more sacrifice. The sacrifice are stopped. Now you don't have to go to the priest. You don't have to go to anyone. You go to direct to Jesus Christ. Now Jesus Christ is the mediator. Jesus Christ is the only one between God and you. He is your lawyer. He is your mediator. So he says now there is no curtain. You can come to God boldly and pray to God. You don't have to go to somebody. You don't have to take a rosary. You don't have to go to another saint. You go to God direct through Jesus Christ. That's why the curtain is torn from top to bottom. And then he says, even the earthquake and the people were lying down in the grave, the graves were open. But they could not come out until Jesus Christ was resurrected. Okay, let's go back to the book of Luke, chapter 23, verse 46.
And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Now when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, certainly this was a righteous man.
Now, here it says, in the Luke, this man was a righteous man. But the not only righteous, is the Son of God. Please read Mark chapter 15, verse 38 or 39.
And when the centurion, which stood over against him, saw that he so cried out and gave up the ghost, he said, truly, this man was the Son of God.
Not only righteous man, the centurion said, this is the Son of God. Now, these people standing there and mocking Jesus, but something he saw in Jesus. He stood there and saw all the seven different phrases he used on the cross. Is here given only a couple of them. We don't have time to explain. But if you remember, in the time of Good Friday, we took 3 hours and explained to you all the seven verses of Christ on the cross. So here, the centurion was listening everything what Jesus Christ was saying. And then when he died and gave up his ghost, gave us his spirit in the Father's hand, this man, centurion, start thinking, this is a righteous man, this is the Son of God, and that centurion got saved on that moment. Jesus Christ was hanging on the cross for you and for me. That centurion, that's the thief on the cross. They got saved watching Jesus Christ. We have this Bible, New Testament and Old Testament. Old Testament telling everything about Jesus, and New Testament, whatever they said about Jesus, is fulfilled in the New Testament. And many people, they go to church, they sit in the church, they do not understand anything, year after year after year, and do not have any relationship with Jesus Christ. Church is not just going and sitting on the chair. Church, when you go, receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and try to tell others what Jesus Christ has done, just like that thief or just like this centurion. He didn't have to say. He could have kept quiet in his mind, but he said loudly, "This is a righteous man. This is the Son of God." So we have a good chance. We are going to church every day. Going to church is good, but witness for Christ. Let's go back to the book of Luke, chapter 23, starting from verse 48.
And all the people that came together to that sight, beholding the things which were done, smote their breasts and returned. And all his acquaintance, and the women that followed him from Galilee, stood afar off, beholding these things. And behold, there was
people that came, and they were watching there. They start crying and weeping, and they went home. And some of the ladies came from Galilee to see these things. They were watching all of these things. He's talking about the disciples, the Mary and the Mary Magdalene and all other people. They were watching and they were thinking, what they're going to do to Jesus Christ. So they watched everything. Not only that, where they're going to lay him so they can do something. Because that day was like a preparation day. Another day was coming like a Sabbath. So they could not do anything. So these ladies wanted to get some spices ready so they can go to the early in the morning, Sunday, means the first day of the week, and do some more spices for Christ. Okay, go ahead.
And behold, there was a man named Joseph, a counselor, and he was a good man and a just. The same had not consented to the counsel and deed of them. He was of Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who also himself waited for the kingdom of God. This man went unto Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. And he took it down and wrapped it in linen and laid it in a sepulchre that was hewn in stone, wherein never man before was laid.
In the Luke, he said he was a good and a just man. But when you're reading in the book of John, he is not only good and a just man, but he is more than that. Go to the John chapter 19 and start reading from verse 38.
And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him leave. He came therefore and took the body of Jesus. And there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night, and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pound weight. Then took they the body of Jesus, and wound it in linen clothes with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new sepulchre, wherein was never man yet laid. There laid they Jesus, therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulchre was nigh at hand.
Now see, this man was a righteous man, the religious man, godly man, looking for the kingdom. He was secret disciples. He had a lot of influence, and he goes to the Pilate, gets the body, get the 100 pounds of all the spices, get the another brother who is a Nicodemus, who came in the middle of the night to ask Jesus, how he can go to the kingdom of God and how can he have eternal life. And all these people, there were so many other secret disciples. But this man was a righteous, good man, well known in the community, has a respect in the community. He goes to the Pilate, gets the body and gives his own tomb. It was carving in the rock. It cost us a lot of money. It cost us a lot of time. This was made for this man, Joseph Arimathea, but he gave it to Christ. This man kept it for himself. He says, I give it to Christ. And this man, God blessed. he recognized Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and he was looking for the kingdom also. And I believe he is in the kingdom of God today. Okay, let's go and finish the chapter. Go back to the book of Luke, chapter 23, and start reading from maybe 53.
And he took it down and wrapped it in linen and laid it in a sepulcher that was hewn in stone, where never man before was laid. And that day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew on. And the women also which came with him from Galilee followed after, and beheld the sepulcher, and how his body was laid. And they returned, and prepared spices and ointments, and rested the Sabbath day according to the commandments.
Now here they say, the ladies were watching, they washed, they went up to this tomb, they saw where the Jesus is laid, and now they made up their mind, day after tomorrow we'll come, bring some more spices, and we'll apply to Jesus' body. But they didn't know that Jesus Christ is going to rise again. Shall we rise and let's pray? Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. You are a great God. You are a miracle-working God. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. You are unchangeable God. Lord Jesus, thank you for giving us your eternal life. I believe that you died for us and you rose again. You are a living God. Lord Jesus, we want you to come into our hearts and be our Lord and our Savior. And let us live for you. And like that thief, we want to go and tell somebody that Jesus Christ is our Lord and our Savior, and he is alive today. Give us grace to reach out to somebody to tell them about Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Please be seated.